Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Good morning, you beloved community. So glad that you are here today. Thanks for joining us here in person. Thanks for joining us online if you are doing so that way. I pray that the songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray, the sermon that we hear, the scriptures that we read will bless you in the name of Jesus today. A little bit later, we will share communion together. So if you're watching online, you can grab some bread, some juice, some wine, water, whatever you're using for that. And of course, here in our service, we will share that amongst each other. If you are visiting with us today, we are so thrilled that you are here. Thanks for your presence today. May you be blessed and feel warmly welcome too. Our scripture for today, I will read right after this thing, which I always forget. There are some colored cards right there that we'd love for you to fill out. The blue ones letting us know that you're here. The yellow ones to pass around some encouragement among our folks here. And the pink ones if you have something that you need our shepherding team to pray over. Any of these can be placed in the offering plate a little bit later in our service. All right, now I'm going to read Psalm 146. I will light our Christ candle right after this, and then Caleb will lead us in a few more songs. Would you stand, please, as we hear the Word of God today? Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, strength to the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth. Be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
Please be seated. Just as we have done since early June, late May, we will read our call to discipleship together, this centering point in our series through Mark together. I would like to invite one of you to read the reader part, if you don't mind. You can just stand up right where you are, read this out loud, and then the rest of us will join in with the all. If you would like to do that, then you can stand, and we will follow along with you. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me, for the gospel, will save it. Ruth is going to come pray over us this morning.
Good morning, church. Good morning, those who are online. May God bless you all. May you all open your ears to the word and your mouth to his meditation. May the Lord heal those at home. May the Lord heal those who are in the crowd. Lord, we pray for your healing and your guidance. Those of you who is going through health problem, don't give up. God is with you. He said he will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And Lord Jesus, this morning we pray for your blessing, oh God. We pray for your blessing on the elders and on the leaders. We pray for your blessing on the members, those who are about to bring the message, and those who are about to lead the song service. Father, we praise you and we glorify you. Let us all give God, ask God to take all of us and give him all of him. Lord, church, he need us more than ever. Church, let's stand up in praise and worship. For churches, for missionaries around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down, here I am to say that
You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, also highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you.
Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, born in Syria and Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying in the bed and the demon gone. I'd like to take an opportunity to say a quick prayer over our minister, Steve Chargent. Father, this past year and a half has been one of the biggest of challenges for so many of us, yet I find myself mindful for Steve this morning because he's made it all right. He's gone beyond and above to bring you all the glory, and I ask that as he prays and blesses himself every week that you give him the gift of preaching this morning for all of us. Thank you for all the blessings that you've showered through him this past year and a half. In your name I pray, amen.
Thanks, Jessica. I appreciate that greatly. And you have prayed the prayer that I always pray, so I'm going to leave it at that. So thank you for doing that. I have never been a school teacher or a professor, those blessed jobs and callings. For 25 years, though, I was, however, on the receiving end of their instruction, sitting in classrooms, learning, taking notes, doing homework, writing papers. In my latter school years, it seemed like every square inch of my days was spent in front of a computer screen, typing out those papers with piles of books surrounding me like castle walls, and I was down in the moat trying not to drown. When I would finally complete an essay, I would exhale and wipe the sweat off my brow, print it off, hand it in. Especially for topics I did not care much for or classes that were way over my head, I cringed turning in those papers because I knew what would happen. Within a week or three, my teacher would hand them back to us, graded. Sometimes I got a C, often a B, rarely an A. My paper, once a pure black and white, now had another color, the dreaded red. If I had missed a comma or misspelled a word, there was a bright red circle around my mistake. Along the margins of my papers, teachers would write notes in red ink, explain further, unclear, irrelevant. Other times, they'd strike a line through a sentence with that same red pen and write, remove. Since this was a Christian university, a few teachers would inscribe in red encouragement at the end of the paper. Good effort, Steve, someone once scribbled, although good effort felt like the sort of praise reserved for a four-year-old who tries to paint a picture of her family. I have never been a teacher, nor have I written a book like some of you have, but I can imagine a copy editor as your worst best friend, one who marks up parts that should be deleted, fact-checking every detail, catching grammatical errors. I know it's nothing personal, since you are paying them to help you succeed and all, but seeing the cuts and revisions in red or otherwise, I assume is like eating a big old piece of humble pie. If, on the other hand, I was a professional copy editor and Mark handed me a rough draft of his gospel, I think I would like that job very much. I give out lots of check marks and stars and a few yeses with exclamation points. I'd ask for some clarity on a few things, especially about how he chooses to end his book in chapter 16. I'd also write out some real encouragement at the end, thanking him for his time and his talent. But when I would come to chapter 7, the story that we read today, I would take out a trusty red pen and in dramatic swipes X this part out. Irrelevant, remove, or simply no. That may be because I want to protect Mark from bad publicity, but it's more likely because I'm bothered by what Jesus did. The narrative starts out reasonably enough with Jesus heading to yet another area, this time the region of Tyre, along the Mediterranean coast. He pulls up to the house, closes the car door as quietly as possible, and carries his luggage rather than rolls it into the house. It's not that he's nervous about waking anyone up. He just doesn't want anyone to know that he's there. He wants to be alone, to rest his tiredness, to pray from his soul, to sleep in peace. He entered the house and did not want anyone to know it, suggests that he is not there for public ministry. Perhaps he wants to escape for a time the crowd that massed around him after he walked on top of the Sea of Galilee. Again, this is not new for Jesus. You and I have talked several times throughout this Markan series how Jesus snuck away to be by himself. Also not new. He could not keep his presence a secret. His popularity precedes him. His fame goes before him. His healing ability, the stuff of legend. That last one is what persuades a woman to seek him out, following the rumor trail to his location. She enters into the house without knocking and falls to his feet. Falls at his feet while Jesus is still unpacking his clothes. Her daughter, her baby girl, is possessed and overtaken by a demonic spirit that can only be described as unclean and evil. In desperateness, this mother begs Jesus from her knees to heal her child. How many times had this same scenario played out in front of Jesus? How many moms bringing sick kids, How many dads and siblings and friends bringing loved ones? How many bouts of paralysis healed and demons extracted? It's all throughout Mark's gospel. You cannot turn the page without stepping on yet another stretcher belonging to a person in need. Jesus did to them what he does to all. He touches, he heals, he restores. The biggest difference between most of those stories and this one is the character involved. This woman is not from his tribe, not of his ethnicity, not part of his religion. She is a Syro-Phoenician Greek, which means that she is a Gentile. Gentiles like her and Jews like him don't mix and mingle so as to prevent cross-contamination. It's not too surprising, however, that such a person would approach Jesus. He is, after all, in Gentile country. Tyre is a port city in Syria, not Israel. And this region is full of people without his own cultural background. Jesus is the foreigner here. And if he thought he could sneak away from his own kind and not be bothered, he had to think again. His reputation had gotten around even to the Gentiles. Therefore, this Gentile mother, who has left her ailing child at home in order to find him, begs Jesus to drive the demon away. The ask is not too much. Just snap your fingers together and voila! Jesus could do that. Plus, he's already proven he'll heal a Gentile. Remember Legion, the man who lived among the tombs. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he says this. First, let the children eat all they want. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Did Jesus, the Son of God, the empathetic Savior, the one who died so that others could live, did he just call this Gentile woman a dog? He did. He calls her a dog. Not a household pet kind of dog, a lovable puppy who sleeps at the end of your bed and to whom you secretly hand-feed meatloaf to when mom and dad aren't watching. This is the kind of dog that scavenges the floor, licking the ground for anything that might drop from the sandwich you are eating. It's not easy to soften such a harsh statement, even if you are a canine lover and have a huge heart for rescuing them. The children get fed first, he says. If there's any food left over, the dogs can have it. Yikes. Drag and drop a few words in, and the implied point is clear. Jesus' mission is for the children, his Jewish family, not for the dogs, the Gentiles. Any fragments left over can go to anyone else, but Jesus knows his target audience and will not be swayed. Okay, that sounds a little better, but why the blatant insults? What to make of Jesus here? It could be that Jesus is just having a bad day. Wants to be alone on his day off, but people keep disturbing him with phone calls and emails and showing up uninvited to his front door. Maybe he gets caught with his compassion down, his irritation up, and this Gentile woman happens to bear the brunt of his weariness. That's plausible. I have certainly been there. You have too. But Jesus, that seems so unlikely, so uncharacteristic. Or maybe Jesus is quoting a well-known saying that circulates among the Jews of the day. First, let the children eat all they want. Can't take bread from the kids and toss it to the dogs. They're not his words, but his people's words. Jesus does not believe the dig. How could he? But he throws it out there anyway so he can see how she'll respond. If he knows the popular saying, then she does too. All too aware of how his people think of someone like her. Wouldn't be the first or the last time Jesus scans for seriousness. Let the dead bury their own dead, Jesus once told a grieving son. The insensitive dog comment, then, is just a test, a move upon the chessboard of faith, a slick riddle with a twinkle in his eye. How is she going to play next? Or, as a third option, some have suggested it could be that this is a recalibration moment for Jesus. Perhaps he is starting to question what he is doing and why. He came to preach, but all his people want instead is his touch. And in the wake of his popularity, he gets lots of applause, but few changed allegiances to the kingdom of God he proclaims. Plus, he is criticized on every side, from religious leaders to hometown neighbors. Even his slow-to-believe disciples get in on the act. If Jesus is wrestling with the scope and purpose of his mission, then the woman before him represents all of that. If there's not enough of him to go around to renew the hearts of his own people, how in the world can he feed the Gentiles too, except with whatever table scraps he can muster up? It's a recalibration moment for Jesus, who he is, and what's he to be about. None of these three options seem especially satisfying. None of them sound great, and what I feel like I'm doing is defending Jesus. Explaining him away, filing off the sharp edges, when all I really want to do is take the cap off my red pen and mark it out. No. But if I did that, we would miss out on the remarkable mom who crouches low to the ground, addressing Jesus directly. It's a wonder she didn't walk out right then in anger, in tears, or both. Why stay after something like that? Instead, she catches the door before he shuts it, and her response back to him changes everything. Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. What an extraordinary reply. I'll take it, she says. Let others get fed first. All I need is a stale crumb, a soggy morsel, a reheated to-go box of leftovers, because I believe that is enough. If that's all that you, Jesus, have remaining to give, or if that's how much other people think I'm worth, or if I have to wait in line all day while you figure out your purpose, then I will do so. And anyone can call me whatever they want if it means my girl has the possibility to be healed. What persistence. What resolution. What faith. Jesus knows it. He sees it. He sees her. He loosens. He melts. She turns him. You are right, he says. For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found her child laying on the bed and the demon gone. The miracle of Jesus' exorcism from a distance, I know, doesn't get much, if any, attention in this story, but for the mom and for the daughter, it means everything. Zooming in on them, it means life returned and life restored. By her faith, someone else is healed. Zooming out, then, we get a bigger picture of what is going on here. Right before our text today, there's a story where Jesus and his disciples do not wash their hands correctly before a meal and get caught by the teachers of the law. Eating with unclean hands is a cultural and religious faux pas. But Jesus chides the teachers, calling them hypocrites. You honor God with your lips, but your hearts are so far from him. Mark interprets it this way. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. The traditional taboos like how to wash hands and what to eat no longer had merit when it came to honoring God. Those were just rules that made you look good on the outside, but left a lot to be desired on the inside. In the story with the Gentile woman, it's like Jesus declares all people clean too. The traditional tabooed people like Gentiles and women and others we may want to X out of the story must no longer be thought of that way. Jesus himself understands that and with his foot starts erasing the narrow circle that had been drawn around him. The welcome must expand now. It must become bigger. It must become wider. It must become better. In the very next chapter, Mark chapter 8, Jesus, full of renewed compassion, feeds 4,000 Gentiles. Like the 5,000 Jews he fed just a few weeks ago, with some bread and a few fish and 7 basketfuls of food are picked up afterwards. Jesus has enough for both. He is enough for both. A feast of abundance for everyone. To get there, he had to look into someone else's eyes, at a woman who persisted and remained, even when the Son of God did not know he had any more to give. And isn't that about right? God continues to use the unlikeliest of people to toe the shapes that encircle us. God continues to prod and poke our opinion of scarcity and meagerness when we think we have nothing extra to offer. God continues to call us to wipe lines out and start again. And just when we think we've drawn them out far enough that surely there's a limit to whom we can be to other people, God says, check under the table. Practically and frankly speaking, it means considering again our stances and our strongholds, even in matters we hold most dear or have been told from the pulpit for decades. When you find someone on the floor eating theological scraps or spiritual crumbs, someone others might call a dog, someone you might have called a dog once upon a time. It's a good opportunity to remember this Gentile woman. All I need is a bit of grace, they might say, a bit of mercy, because even the residue of God's presence is enough for me. The fact is, my friends, all of us have snuck in under the radar. None of us deserve to be here, no matter how clean on the outside we may appear. We too are here only because of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul once reminded us that God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still on the outside looking in, Christ died for us. It's the hands nailed open approach that Jesus himself learned to trust, an approach he ultimately lost his life for believing. He taught us that's how the joy of healing and resurrection comes for him, for her, for us. Thanks be to God. And together, friends, we say or we type, amen. Let's stand in worship, please.
Walking but faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not waver walking by faith. He will be strong to deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Please be seated. It's time for us to gather around the table, and as we do each week, partake of the body and blood, and I'm going to ask if there are some volunteers who would like to come forward and help to serve after we pray. If you're at home, you can gather around your table and join us in prayer and communion. God, we thank you for this table, for the invitation to crowd around it, to be included in your family as your children, as your beloved sons and daughters. We thank you for the love that you showed your son Jesus in raising him from the dead. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, a reminder of his brokenness before that glory. Help us to take in the great truth, God, that you love each one here, each of us, just as you loved him
that you see us not as we are, but as he is. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen.
Well, it's time to give what we have and trust that God will bless it and use it in ways that God's Spirit sees fit. You can give some funds in the offering plate today. We got a couple folks here going to walk around in a moment and pass around the offering tray. You can give online like many of you do, or bring it to the office, drop it in the mail, and we appreciate, of course, however you give it and what you give. So let's pray over this, and then these two will walk around. Thanks, God, for the ability to give as you have given to us. We pray that you would bless these gifts, and through them and by them, we pray that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. give you thanks for this church. And we pray because of your goodness, because of the gifts given, that you would bless us however you see fit. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. You may notice the clown barrel out in the lobby is overflowing with things that you have given to the Sunny Glen Children's Home. Thank you for doing that. I pulled out an extra box this morning so more items could be put in there. I can pull out more boxes to use if you continue to bring stuff. So thanks for doing that. We have about a week left before they come and grab all that stuff. Thanks for doing so. All right, Thursday Bible class has commenced. This happens on Thursdays at 10:30 via Zoom. Andrea Engel is once again leading the class. The topic is called A Time for Every Purpose Under Heaven. You'll see more information in your bulletins this morning. If you want to be a part of that, you can let King know, and he will send you a Zoom link for the class this upcoming Thursday. Just a heads up, the office will be closed tomorrow for Labor Day. And here's some Bible classes that we have all over this building for our youngest, our younger, and for adults and our oldest folks among us. We hope that you will stick around for a little bit and be a part of the fellowship and community that happens when this part of our gathering is done. Before I give our benediction, Steve Sandifer is going to come talk about a couple things, and then we'll be sent out.
Had a call from Gray Stancil. Gray was riding his bicycle up here at Brazewood and Stella Link on August the 26th when he and a Range Rover came in contact with each other. He says it wasn't her fault, it wasn't my fault, it was a blind spot and an accident happened. But he's got, I think he said, 9 cracked ribs. And his right wrist was broken. He is currently in a cast for his right arm, has a plate and a bunch of screws in his wrist. And there's not a lot you do for cracked ribs except suffer through it, but he says they have been accumulating some blood, and the doctors are going to do a couple of procedures this week to drain blood off of his chest. So he requests our prayers, and we will certainly do that in just a minute. Secondly, my electronic calendar only goes back 25 years, and for much longer than that, we have been providing a noon lunch once or twice a year for the folks down at Impact. And the last Sunday of this month is the date that we have been assigned for this year. We thought that by this time everyone would have gotten their vaccination and things would be much cleaner than they are now. But anyway, we are smaller and many of us are afraid. And so I'm going through my mind, how are we going to do this? What we normally do is we prepare about 300 sack lunches. They include a po' boy sandwich, a bag of chips, a banana, and desserts that many of you make at home, put in individual plastic bags, and bring up here. I don't know if we have all of that under control. So I'm going to want you to write down on a card and hand to me. Please don't tell me. The brain is old. It doesn't remember. I need to know if you will bring desserts and how many, because we will have to go buy some, I'm sure, to supplement it. I need to know if you're willing to come up here at 8 o'clock that Sunday morning and help us make sandwiches and accumulate the bags. Now, we can do things differently in the fellowship hall. Normally, we're around the island in the kitchen. Everything is close quarters as we make the sandwiches. What we can do this year is we can put tables out in the fellowship hall, and we can assign or let you assign a group of three people, for instance, at a table, or a family at a table, where you totally put the sandwich together, wrap it, and put it in a box. And then you don't have to be across the table from other folks, and you can be with people that you trust COVID-wise. But I need to know if you're willing to help us with that as well. I don't think money is the problem this year. We have money left over from previous years. The problem is manpower. So please write it on a card. One of those registration cards will work, or send me an email so I know how to plan for Feeding Impact the end of this month. I would like everyone who helps us prepare over there to be fully vaccinated and wear a mask. Fully vaccinated and wear a mask, please. Let's pray for Gray. Father, we pray for our brother Gray Stansel. I am so thankful for his attitude, for his faith, but I know he hurts. And I pray that you will be with him so that his life is spared and that he heals quickly and is able to return to the things he enjoys. So, Father, please bless him and bless those who serve him this week. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for speaking to us today. Would you stand, please, and receive our benediction as we are sent out of this room. From Mark chapter 7, again, the woman's voice says, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then Jesus told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. May the faith we see in her be lived out amongst us this week, and may you receive with joy the healing and feeding Jesus gives. Go in peace and purpose today.